This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
We're bringing our buddy RJ Bell into the fold, and he's going to join us in just a moment. Right after RJ, we're going football frenzy at 10:15. So let's line him up now so we can say goodbye to RJ and start with the frenzy. 800-919-3776 at Rothenberg ESPN on Twitter. Again, line them up, 800-919-3776 on Twitter, at Rothenberg ESPN. Let's bring him in. Been a long time. The world's a lot different than it was last time we spoke. And say good morning to RJ Bell. Good morning, RJ.
Listen, I'm going to keep things the same and start complaining right off the go. Is yesterday on with Mr. Michael Kay for the first time in, whatever, 5 months. And he comes in with, oh, we're so excited. And literally the great one, RJ Bell, from Mr. Michael K. Here it's like, hey, let's get some callers so we can get RJ out of here as quickly as possible.
I think you're very sensitive, to be honest. I think you're very sensitive.
A little bit.
Happy to have you on. We hope that you're well. Obviously, it's been an unbelievable time in this country, but let's get right to it because we have a lot of stuff we want to tackle with you right now. First of all, before we even start, are you and Canty having some kind of a wager this season?
Well, no, we don't have a wager, Dave, but we do have beef. We got beef still.
Uh-oh.
Because I don't understand why RJ Bell can't respond to me when I'm reaching out to him via social media. If I had your phone number, I would call you. But I don't understand why I can't get a tweet back or DM back. What's up with that, RJ?
Uh-oh.
You know something? I did an experiment, and it was shocking the effect it had. So this is what happened. I had a 7, an iPhone 7, right? So the 7 went in the crapper right when COVID started, just started blinking out. So I'm like, okay, there's no COVID. I'm not really leaving the house, so I don't need I got a landline. I'm fine, right? And then I loved it. I loved not having a phone. So then when things started to open up, I said, I'll just wait for the 11. Is that what's coming out? I'm like, I'll wait for that. And then it got moved to October, and I thought, I'm going to stick this thing out. So many people are mad at me because they're texting the old number. It's just gone. I guess it was a failure. Mr. Canty, I apologize, and you certainly can have my home number, private number, and I would always try to respond. I mean, I'm hit or miss on those things. But
sure, I got you. But we got to talk off the air, though.
Absolutely. But I'll say this. Is I was going to make an announcement on what I talked to you, Dave, about. Is that okay to do now, or do we want to wait?
Ahead. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
All right. So, I did. Canty won the first year, and it went to his wonderful charity. I mean, it was a very lucky win, but he won. But then last year, it was just total domination. I won, but I haven't, gotten around to worrying about where the 5,000 goes. So here's what I want to do: is I want to have the audience give us ideas between now and next week, but a New York City based COVID charity will let, not a vote as much as let's see a good idea and we'll announce it next week. How's that sound, Canty?
That works for me. I mean, I have to rip up the check I already made out to your charity of choice, which was the Boys and Girls Club, but I can do that. That's not a problem.
I mean, the world has changed, and I do love the Boys and Girls Club because to me, when you're a kid, you got to get the best we can get a fair break. But, I mean, obviously New York's been hit. I love New York. And, I guess I won, so I get to decide. So New York it is.
You certainly do. All right, let's hit you with some questions here and go rapid fire as we can. First one from me, how do you think the spreads change with the lack of fans and lack of, I guess, a home field advantage, right? Like last night, a raucous crowd normally, nothing. Saints, you're going to get nothing. Seattle, you're going to get nothing. Like, what kind of a number change is that on these games, RJ?
Typically, home field is 3. Now, there's occasions with the Saints specifically, Seattle, Green Bay falls in this category. Minnesota just does. They're like the next team. It's above 3, right? Then you've got your, 3.5, let's say. Then you've got your bad teams with home field, the less impact. Jacksonville is an example. Tennessee's had a bad home field for a long time. Okay, so that's 2.5. What we're doing here is moving between 1.5 and 2. So we literally are cutting it in half or a little less. I strongly think it should be 2, maybe even 2.5. And here's why quickly. I think, and again, this is why I love Canty. I can get his opinion on this. I believe it's not going to be so much home field advantage, which will be some of that. You're, you know, familiar with the surroundings, though. Remember now, they're forcing the NFL to stay in a hotel and such. I don't know what the Giants and Jets typically do when they play at home. Do they go to a hotel or do they stay at home?
They go to hotels.
They do. Okay. So, Chris, how many teams would you guess of the 32 did that last year?
I want to say the majority of them, RJ. You're probably talking about 20 to 25 teams.
Okay, so it's only going to be that 7 to 10 teams or so that are going to have to change this year. But I believe there's going to be a greater road team disadvantage. Whatever it takes to travel, it's going to take so much more with the COVID precautions. And I think especially the first couple road games, it's going to be arduous and it's going to be hard. And I think the teams that are not as good operationally, like the way I explained it is, if you could envision the team maybe fires their bus driver and forgets to hire a new one, like the Bengals maybe, that kind of team's going to struggle, I think, even more traveling. A team like the Patriots, they're going to have it figured out before the first time.
RJ, does new coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, does that get baked into these numbers?
Not sufficiently. So we did a preview podcast, right? And we had a guy on, a big former bookmaker, and he said, I feel like I'm talking about COVID every team, like we were, you know, previewing the teams. And it's like he stopped talking about it as much because you get bored of it, right? But it's probably even more than we're talking about it. And, I mean, if you listen to, like, the Mangini's, you listen to the former coaches that are now in media, it's all they talk about. And again, I love having Chris here. I mean, if you guys had – you know, one of your years, the lack of prep, you know, the amount of prep they have this year. I mean, how much do you think, I'm sure you've talked about this, so maybe succinctly, how much would it have affected things?
I would think it would affect things a lot, RJ.
Yeah. And I think especially, and as we just ticked off, new coach, especially if there's new coordinators too, which almost always there is often. Yeah. But in Dallas, there's not on offense, which is kind of unusual. Rookie quarterbacks, even Tom Brady changing teams, you know, quarterbacks changing teams. And here's what's not being discussed enough. Changes on the O-line. Mm-hmm. So Jets, in theory, have upgraded their O-line, right? But yep. But I think the first four or six games, it might be – maybe the first three, it's worse than last year. Then it gets to be even. Then the second half of the year, it's better. I think a lot of changes on the O-line. I think the Cleveland Browns really upgraded. I don't think it shows for a while because of that cohesion won't be there.
And I was going to ask you about that with the Jets, RJ, because they're one of four teams in the last decade that have five new starters on the offensive line in week one from the five that they had the previous year. So how does that affect how you view the line between them and the Buffalo Bills this weekend?
I think you would have been chomping at the bit, right? I mean,
absolutely.
Because, I mean, the thing that always blows my mind is when they say a guy changes from left tackle to right tackle, it's like, oh, yeah, it takes about a year and a half. You know, like to me, when I was a kid, you know, I lined up, put my hand down on the right, but obviously this is Picasso versus finger painting. And this the sophistication and nuance on the offensive line, I think since the last collective bargaining agreement, you know, not the one just the last year, but like what, 5 years before, and they cut down on practices and preseason work, I think the line play has suffered since then. Now, mm-hmm. Imagine this year and imagine all of those changes on the O-line. Man, I would look at maybe Jets team total under. You can't think the Jets are going to score much in this game.
No, I don't think anybody believes the Jets offense is going to put up a lot of points in this game. All right, before we let you go, RJ, are we back on with the two of you? Are we going with the wagers right now?
No, you know, remember, Dave, here's what we said. What we said was Chris was going to give his three picks, and I can take out his bad ones. And we'll pick one game a week for the audience that we agree on and see how it does this year.
So you guys are not going head-to-head.
I mean, we did it, right? We did it.
In 2 years, that's over.
Okay. And again, I think, to be honest, I might randomly see Chris somewhere, and he's so mad at me in the middle of that, he'll kill me.
He could pummel you. Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't – no, don't pummel me. He's going to pick me up and spin me like a top. So, I mean, I'm 190 pounds, but still, that's a top to him. So, no, I think we're good. But, Chris, you love that idea? Give me your three, and I'll give a best bet?
Yeah, I like the idea of us collaborating to come up with a best bet. And
then all right,
just keep
so
track
who you got this week?
As the season goes along.
Who do you got this week?
Well, we have to rely on RJ for that, right?
No, you're going to pick your best three, and then he's going to pick the one that he likes.
Well, Dave, yeah. I haven't gotten to that point, Dave. You're kind of putting me on the spot right now.
Okay, all right. Well, let's do the how's this sound? Is Dave, if you don't mind, send me his three. I'll tweet it out at RJ in Vegas. And Chris, you know, happily can if he wants, and we'll do it that way this week. And I got a best bet myself, which I'll give my own every week, too. So we'll have two of them.
Oh, two best bets. All right. So Chris, you text me. We'll get it out there on Twitter. RJ's going to pick it tomorrow morning on the show, mm-hmm. and then you can do that moving forward on Fridays with RJ. But before we let you go, what is your pick of the week, RJ?
I love this game, and I rarely bet with the public here, but this is a public betting. I love the Arizona Cardinals. Arizona's plus 7 against the 49ers. All right, so obviously 49ers have disruption at wide receiver. I think that's going to be a bigger deal than people think. But that's not why I like it. We got, obviously, Kingsbury, a second-year coach now. Two times they faced the 49ers. Now, DVOA is the Football Outsiders Analytics, and they actually grade the offense of every team the entire season. So 16 games, let's say, of the regular season, there's 512 offenses that get graded. When Arizona played San Francisco, so they had two of those were their offense against San Fran, right? Game one, game two. They were ranked 10th and 11th out of 512 teams. Literally, 10th and 11th. There's something schematically about what Kingsbury's doing against this San Fran D that they just got them figured out. And, I mean, how can you have literally the Super Bowl or Super Bowl runner-up level defense that was mighty good most of the year, San Fran? You got an Arizona team that won, what, four games or five games? And somehow it's literally the 10th out of 512 and the 11th. This is the matchup edge of the week. We're getting to 7. I think this line's dropping. Arizona plus the touchdown.
All right. Good stuff, RJ Bell. I will talk to you tomorrow morning for the hour. We got it. Arizona plus the 7 is the line that you like this week. We appreciate it. We're happy to have you back. Oh. We'll talk to you next week.
Oh, there you go. I appreciate it, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Good stuff. That, of course, is RJ Bell. So Arizona plus the 7 is his pick of the week. All right.
I got a best bet. I got a best bet.
What's your best bet?
RJ ain't no 190 pounds.
You don't think?
No. No shit.
You go over? over the 190?
No, I'm going over. I'm going over.
That's funny. All right, Islanders in the Stanley Cup Conference Finals, Rick, and MSG Plus has complete live coverage before and after every game. Tonight, 7:30, get ready for Game 3 against the Lightning with the team that's been with you all season long, Shannon, Butch, and AJ. They preview the matchup on Islanders Game Night. Then immediately after Game 3, tune back to MSG Plus for our complete coverage, including in-depth analysis and player interviews, your team, your network, MSG Plus, your home for Islanders Stanley Cup playoff coverage before and after every single game. And, of course, you can hear the Islanders right here tonight in a must-win game at 7:30 on 98.7 ESPN. Santi, let's start it out. The first one of the season.
A football frenzy.
You could say that 10,000 times and it still wouldn't be enough.
It fires me up, man.
I love it. Say it one more time.
A football frenzy. Any team, any player, any question.
800-919-3776 at Rothenberg ESPN. I have a lot of tweets rolling in. We go rapid fire with the frenzy in just a moment, but before we start the frenzy, SNY and 98.7 ESPN have a Jets prize package for you. Tune in to SNY, the TV home of the Jets, for Jets Post Game Live with Bart Scott, Jonas Schwartz, and Gene Coakley following Sunday's game against the Bills. Catch the Jets quote of the game then. Tune into our show 9 to 11 Monday for your official chance to win official Jets merchandise courtesy of 98.7 ESPN and SNY. Jets Post Game Live only on SNY. Get your New York sports here. All right, you guys ready? First one of the season, 800-919-3776. A lot of tweets are rolling in already. Let's roll along here. Penske tweets in, Chris, which rookie wide receiver is going to have the biggest impact? Judy, CeeDee Lamb, Justin Jefferson, or Pittman on the Colts?
Man, I got a scary feeling that it's going to be Jerry Jeudy. I like what I saw from Drew Locke at the end of last year, and I just feel like you got him a true number one receiver, a guy that's a very good route runner from day one. I just feel like Jerry Jeudy is going to be one of those instant impact players. I know a lot of people that go with CeeDee Lamb because he's with America's team, and he'll have a lot of opportunities in that offense. But I just feel like Jerry Jeudy is going to get an awful lot of targets this year.
All right, NYG of the year wants to know, Rick, better season statistically, Sam Darnold or Daniel Jones?
I would probably say Daniel Jones just because he has better weapons. You got one of the best running backs in the league. I mean, the offensive line should be better, I would imagine. And if, you know, if they stay healthy, I mean, would you disagree with that?
No, I 100% agree. I mean, listen, if you flip-flop them, if you put Jones on the Jets, I think that Darnold would have better numbers. But I think the situation that he's in, I think it's clear to me that Jones, I expect to have the better statistics this season. Birdman JR wants to know, following up on Darnold, over under 20 touchdown passes for Darnold this year.
Over.
Over.
Over? Okay. Yeah. KRZ, who do you think has a better season, Matt Ryan or Big Ben?
Matt Ryan.
Yeah, I would agree with that. He's younger, right? I mean, Roethlisberger coming off, you know, major.
Plus, he's got Julio Jones.
Yeah, which never hurts. MVP Andy wants to know: do you see the Jets going 9-7 this season?
No.
I don't think anybody sees.
I mean,
the Jets
I think it would be a successful season if they go 500.
If the Jets go 8-8, you'd be thrilled right now.
Yeah.
With two first round picks coming up, you'd be thrilled. Fat Strong Guy wants to know, which quarterback in the NFC East, Rick, do you think has the best statistical season?
NFC East, best statistical season, I would say Dak.
Yeah, I sadly have to agree with you. Very, very sadly. Senor D wants to know, Cam Newton over under 30 passing touchdowns for the season. He's not going to throw for more than 30.
That's a high number. Now, can he combine for 30 touchdowns?
The question is, does he throw for more than 30? We all agree it won't be more than 30 throwing, but yeah, how about that?
Could he be like 25-5? Absolutely.
Yeah, he could do that. Let's go to the phones, 800-919-3776. James, Long Island, you're on the Frenzy. James, go.
Hey, guys. What do you think about the Seahawks' chances to win the NFC West this year?
I like their chances. I mean, they were
A
yard and a bad call away from winning the division last year.
Their offense is only going to get better, and then of course with the addition of Jamal Adams, that defense is going to be. I think that's going to be a very disruptive unit. I mean, I think Jamal Adams has a real chance of being a defensive player of the year candidate. That's how good I think he could be with Pete Carroll.
Wow. If he is at that level over there in Seattle, yes, they're going to be a tough team to beat and not win this division. All right, real quick, Omar in East Brunswick, you're on the Frenzy.
What improvements do you guys want to see in Sam Darnold this year? Love you guys.
I'd like to see health. I mean, that's the first one. I like him to see health. See him
don't
healthy
throw the
for
ball
16.
To the other team.
Exactly.
Yes. How about that? Just
good,
don't throw the ball to the
advice,
other team.
Chris.
Yeah.
No, that's it. Decision-making. Yep. Stay healthy in your decision-making.
Cocoa Pebbles, a delicious cereal, would like to know, do the Jets have the worst skill position players in all the NFL?
Not according to Don. Don kind of took a shot at us yesterday, but I wish we had more time because I wanted to get him on the phone with us today.
Well, what did he say?
He said he was listening to us and we were being so negative about the talent around Sam Darnold. It's not like the Jets are bereft of talent at the skill position.
Well,
at the skill positions.
Compare him to any other team, it pretty much is, though.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, I was listening to it and I'm sitting here looking. I don't know. I mean, you tell me. I don't know. There's not many teams that have much worse.
No. No. Yeah. I mean, I think Jacksonville skill position players are actually better. Even releasing Fournette, their receivers are pretty good.
Yeah, listen. I mean, if you're going to make the argument last year that Tom Brady didn't have enough offensive weapons, I mean, how could you make the argument that Sam Darnold does?
Yeah, I don't like that take at all from Don.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, no, not even a little bit.
Shut up.
All right, we'll be quiet now. And that ends a Friday Frenzy for us here on 98.7 ESPN. Well done, everyone around. All right, Paul Feinbaum's going to join us next. And then after that, we got to get into the Jets, who have their first game. I mean, this is amazing. Their first game Sunday, 11 o'clock pre, kickoff at 1 o'clock. But the pregame, Chris, right after your show, which I just noticed Mike Tenenbaum is joining you in the
Yeah, we got Mike T on the show this year, so I'm excited about it, man. We kick it off on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock to 11, then the Jets pre, and then the Jets kick it off at 1 o'clock up in Buffalo. One of our favorites joins us here, Paul Feinbaum on 98.7. Obviously, crazy times in college football. A couple of conferences not even playing. Paul, how you doing? We appreciate a couple minutes. And what is now locked in is a 10:30 spot with you every Friday.
Yeah, no, it will be a little easier. I won't be running through airports trying to grab you this year. But there's still a college football season, you're right. And there's still a chance that the Big Ten will play. I mean, in the last month, in my history of covering college football, I've never seen a story that has been more unnerving and dysfunctional and hard to explain than what they did exactly 1 month ago when they shut football down. And since then, that there has been an uprising a day.
So realistically, do you think we're going to see Big Ten chance, Pac-12 no? Like, where are we with this now?
Yeah, I don't think the Pac-12 has any chance. I mean, listen, the Western states are in a world of hurt, from wildfires to COVID restrictions to everything imaginable. But there's still a big move in the Big Ten, and it's almost impossible to predict. You have the president of the United States who is actively campaigning. He was in Michigan yesterday, trying to push the politicians there, which has not worked. The Rutgers president came out last night and said, "We're not playing," and he accused the president of cheap politics, which is shocking to me that anyone would accuse a politician of that. But, yeah, I still think you could see a revote next week. Whether it was 11-3 against playing 1 month ago, I think it would be closer now. But, you know, what's really amazing is that the messaging of this has been so bad that, I mean, yesterday, Ryan Day, the coach at Ohio State, literally came after the Big Ten commissioner. And this is the kind of thing we have never seen before. I mean, you may get this in professional sports, but you don't get it in college sports very often.
Oh, because it is professional sports now with all the money. Paul, I mean, what was the mindset of Kevin Warren? Did he assume that, you know, he'd be the hero? He'd postpone the season first and then everyone would fall in behind him?
I think that's exactly it. Now, I am not trying to tell anyone that, you know, the country's in great shape on COVID, especially people in New York who have been through the worst of it, even though it's a lot better now, to say the least. But a month ago in the Midwest, in the South, in the West, things were much worse from a numbers standpoint. It didn't look like it was going to be possible. So I think Kevin Warren, who is the commissioner, and by the way, in his first year after replacing a guy who had been there for 25 years, in Jim Delaney, said, you know what, I'm going to be the smartest guy in the room. We're going to shut down early. We got the medical and science advice. And, you know, the Pac-12 followed suit in 45 minutes, and then everybody else said, hold on a second, we're not going anywhere yet. And I think with the Big 12 and the especially the SEC, which is not starting for two more weeks, I think they were gambling on the same thing that the NFL gambled on by not playing preseason games, that maybe by now it would be better. And in some ways it is better. It doesn't mean it will stay better, but it's better today. So you're seeing football. I mean, we saw a game last night. We saw a couple of a group of five games last week. And by the end of tomorrow, we'll have seen Notre Dame play, Clemson play, Syracuse play, and it will almost seem normal, other than the stands are either empty or virtually empty.
Paul, earlier this week, James Franklin was on ESPN, and he was critical of the lack of guidance from the Big Ten in the wake of canceling the season. And from what it sounds like from you, he has a legitimate beef or legitimate gripe with Kevin Warren. Am I reading you right in what you're saying?
Yeah, no, I think you are. And when it first happened, it seemed like everyone was just complaining to complain. But a month later, you have to sympathize with James Franklin. You have to sympathize with Harbaugh and Ryan Day. And, I mean, not only are they trying to keep players intact in the event that the season starts late or they play in the spring, which they probably wouldn't keep anybody worth a flip on the team, they're also in the middle of recruiting. Remember, the recruiting schedule moved up to December 2 years ago. So, I mean, if you're out there for Ohio State or Penn State, and you're recruiting against Alabama and Clemson, in Oklahoma, I mean, this is being used against you, whether it should be or not. I mean, come on. I mean, we are talking about a global pandemic here. But this is college football. It's cutthroat. And if you're not playing, you look bad right now.
Paul Feinbaum with us here, 98.7 ESPN. I was going to ask you about the Heisman Trophy, and I said, I'm going to save that for Canty. Let him do that with his question. But is it Clemson, Alabama? I mean, with no Ohio State, at least right now, are these the best two teams in college football heading into a crazy season?
Unquestionably. And I really did think Ohio State was a major contender. I mean, that's not an upset. They were in the playoffs last year, but you know, with Justin Fields coming back, with the normal, I mean, they lose, you know, they lost Chase Young last year. They lose players every year, most of the year before. I mean, they are a recruiting machine, or have been. They may have had the best team in the country. And by the way, had the season been normal, which sounds silly to say now, they would have been playing at Oregon this weekend, which, you know, had they gone out there and won, that's a huge win. That could have propelled them to number one in the country and really put them in a great spot. So without them, it's primarily like it has been so often, a two-man race. And, you know, after that, it's hard to say. I mean, the one thing that and I think this would be applicable to pro football as well, but you just don't know what you're going to get week to week. I mean, with this contact tracing, with protocols being very interpretive, I mean, you could see some major upsets. And also, normally we use the cliches like, man, it's tough to go to play at Oklahoma or at LSU or at Florida. You don't know right now. I mean, nobody knows what these environments are going to be like. I mean, you watched the game last night. Not exactly a home field advantage. That will factor in at times, and at others, you could have huge upsets in college football.
Paul Feinbaum joins us here on the show. Paul, last one for me. Were you surprised at all? Or maybe that's not the best way to put it. What are your thoughts on what Lincoln Riley had to say about not revealing? He's not going to share the COVID-19 test results because he doesn't want to give it. He believes it's a competitive disadvantage.
It's pretty disturbing. It's been said, and it will be said many more times. I mean, we're not talking about trying to hide an ankle injury here. We're talking about an infectious disease. But yeah, instead of pointing my arrows at Lincoln Riley, I think he pretty well speaks for everyone. I mean, college coaches are not taking this very seriously. I don't care what they say publicly. I mean, I've spoken to enough of them. I've heard enough stories. They try to downplay it like a politician or some of the politicians do. And, they don't want to give anybody an advantage. So, I think we are in for a season of deceitfulness and coaches being disingenuous and bordering on criminal, not in the literal sense, but in the philosophical sense, in terms of what they try to hide. And, you know, they better hope, and let's all hope, that nobody suffers as a result. But I'm not so confident that we're not going to see some cataclysmic event in college football this year, which turns the whole thing upside down.
Paul, assuming that we're able to get through the entire regular season, what happens to the college football playoff with potentially two of the Power Five conferences not playing this fall?
Yeah, they're still scheduled to have it on New Year's Day, and then the finals on January 11th. Now, I interviewed the Big 12 commissioner last night, Bob Bowlesby, and I asked him, I said, what happens if the Big Ten starts late? And I was shocked. He said he would not rule out, I mean, allowing or voting to allow the Big Ten in late, you know, with a partial schedule. So, I mean, I as crazy as it sounds, if the Big Ten somehow starts in late October and got eight games in, I think they would probably factor in. Other than that, we will see the three major conferences, the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC, and then is there somebody coming from the next level? Is there a Cincinnati or UCF or Memphis or somebody like that? I think it's unlikely because those schools would not have enough of a quality win, but it will be a wild roller coaster ride. I mean, in every sport, but I think college football will be the most bizarre.
Yeah, this will be a season like we've never, ever seen before. Paul, we're glad you're going to be with us every Friday, leading us along in this crazy college football world. Good stuff. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. That, of course, is Paul Feinbaum. Now, streaming Disney's new movie Mulan, experience the legend of Mulan as she fights to defend her family and the kingdom, available to Disney Plus subscribers who unlock premiere access. Of course, we want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Click Listen Live at ESPNNewYork.com, find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. All right, I got my picks ready to go. We'll get to that in about 3 minutes. But, Rick, your Jets. Jets, Bills, Sunday, 1 o'clock. I mean, you got to be excited. Even if you're nervous, it's a new offensive line, all that. You don't love the weapons with this team. It's opening day for your Jets on Sunday.
Opening day, baby. Everyone starts 0-0. Everyone's got a chance, Dave. Everyone has a chance. Jets pants are already laid out. Kids got theirs. I got mine.
Not according to Dan Graziano and RJ Bell. God. Everybody we talk to says the same exact thing about the 2020 Jets. The same exact thing.
Well, hey, I mean, you guys don't make it easy. You guys do not make it easy to be positive.
Well, I do nothing. Honestly, I've done nothing. All I've done is talked about it, and you're the one with this negative tone about the Jets all the time. I haven't done that.
I'd like to be pleasantly surprised. I don't want to get my hopes up like so high that, you know, after week one, I'm dead inside like you usually get. So I want to give myself like, okay, it could be bad, but all of a sudden, you know, come Sunday, they surprise me. And then I'm
so
excited.
So you're using a reverse psychology on yourself?
Yes. Correct.
Okay. Is that what you... Like, if I say they're going to be bad
very
and
strategic.
They go out and they play well, then I'll be happy.
Well, yeah, but they're not giving me, like, from what we've heard and what we've seen over the last year, then what we heard throughout, you know, training camp. And then I'm reading yesterday that Adam Gase was talking about Buffalo, and he's like, yeah, sometimes it feels like they got 12 or 13 guys playing defense. Oh, because that makes me feel good about it.
The defense is good.
Yeah, but your head coach isn't supposed to say that. Feels like there's 13 guys out there.
So
me and my quarterback
Sam
are seeing
will be
ghosts.
Back to see ghosts. No. Yeah.
We know what this comes down to, though. Yeah. We know what the season's about. It's not about necessarily wins and losses. It's about the production and maturation of Sam Darnold.
Exactly. That's
so
it.
How many Jets seasons are we going to say that about, Dave? We've been saying that the last 5 years.
As many as it takes.
We'll say it again this year, and then hopefully. Could you imagine if we're sitting here a year from right now and saying, well, this is about the maturation of Sam Darnold because we need to see what he is in year four. We haven't seen that in 3 years. No, this is the season. And I'm not saying he's got to be the quarterback he's going to wind up being, but you need to see a better version of Sam Darnold this year than you've seen the first 2 years. You have to.
We all agree with that. It's just, does he have enough around him to do that? That's the question.
That is the question. And how good is the offensive line going to be? Because we know the receivers are not great. I mean, they might be okay. Crowder, Mims, Perryman, Herndon,
Mims.
Griffin.
What are you saying, Mims? Did you not see what just happened with them? I mean, again, going back to
he's
how
he's got
can
hamstring
I...
strains. I saw.
No, strings. Yeah, it was hamstring. Now it's hamstring.
I said hamstring strains. Yes, both hamstrings now.
Sam Donald will be hamstring.
Oh, yeah. He's hamstrung.
He's hamstrung this season. But it all comes down to the fact that what can the offensive line be? I mean, if you have if Becton is a good left tackle right away, and I'm not saying he will be, but if he is, that's a tremendous advantage for this young quarterback.
And what's the reality of that, though, Dave?
Probably little.
Okay, I mean, at some point, do I feel like at some point during the season, this offensive line will come together and be better than it was? Or be better than it was over the last couple years? Absolutely, I feel that way. But I don't necessarily know if that's the case early on in the season.
No, I think both teams are going to suffer from that. I think the Giants and Jets will suffer from the same thing where the offensive line, it's. I mean, Chris, you said it. You have five new guys on this offensive line. Five new starters on this offensive line. How can you be good week one?
No, it's going to be hard to be good week one. And we know out of all the position groups on a football team, that group relies the most on continuity and communication. Like, you have to have that rapport, and you're not going to be able to develop that if you don't have live game action. And without having the benefit of preseason games, it's going to be tough to get that up to speed in time to really have a positive impact on Sam Darnold doing his thing.
All right, Sunday, 11 o'clock, right after Chris's show from 8 to 11. Then it's the Jets pre at 11, and then, of course, the Jets game at 1. Santi, music. It's time for NFL picks. We each have 30 seconds I've allotted us. Rick, would you like to go first, second, or third?
I would like to go third. Since I've already got one pick right with the Kansas City game.
No, you have not. I'll go first quickly. I'm going to take Detroit -3 against Chicago. I do not believe in Trubisky. I think Stafford's a terrific quarterback, and haven't seen him play in a while. So I'll take Detroit -3. Sadly for you, Rick, I'm going to take Buffalo -6.5. I think they beat up on the Jets this weekend. And because I have to and I want to, Give me the Rams plus the 3 Sunday Night Football against the overrated Dallas Cowboys. Lock them down, 3-0 start the season.
All right, Dave, I'm going to start out with my first pick. If it's good enough for RJ Bell, it's good enough for me. I'm taking the Arizona Cardinals in the points against San Francisco. I've been saying it for the last year. I think Tom Brady has more left in the tank than Drew Brees. We'll get the chance to see that on display. I'm taking the Bucs plus the 3.5. And, Dave, I got a feeling that this is the season Big Blue gets it turned around, yes, and it starts on Monday night. I'm taking the Giants plus 6.
All right, fellas, since I'm already 1-0, I only have to give two picks. I'm going to start with the
3.
I'm going to start with the Tennessee Titans. I'm going to take Tennessee, lay the 2 points. Denver dealing with injuries. Cortland Sutton's banged up, and I think Tennessee's going to be able to run the football. I'm going to take that if I die, I die. Ugh. Kirk Cousins minus the 2.5. And I think the Patriots will win, but not by 6.5. I think Miami covers the 6.5, so I'll take Miami plus the 6.5.
All right, there's our three picks.
DCR is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Catch them weekday mornings at 9 on 98.7 ESPN.